glitch, but that's okay. Really important stuff that you guys are doing. You're called for a community camp to organise between 14th of April to the 17th of April at Newcastle. It's a Rising Tide Newcastle event. Can you tell my listeners about what's going on, Naomi?
Yeah. So we are gathering in Newcastle to target the world's biggest coal port. It's the single largest source of emissions on this continent and represents about 1% of global emissions. So it's an extraordinary contribution to the climate crisis in one site. And we think what we need to start to shift the politics nationally around the climate conversation and the need for urgent and transformative action is a mass disruptive movement. And if there's going to be a place on the continent where we have the greatest potential to build that type of movement, we think it's in Newcastle because it is such a significant contribution to the crisis and it's relatively accessible for Australia's population centres.
Yeah, it's been targeted before, raising people's awareness of how key it is in the coal industry in Australia. And as you pointed out, that when that coal gets burned, it actually is greater than all of the other stuff that we emit.
Yeah, well, it has been for a long time. I think last year, because of the flood, there was a dip in the amount of coal exported. But, yeah, it hovers around at the equivalent amount of Australia's domestic emissions. Yeah. Some years it's been greater than our total emissions combined. Some years it's been a bit less. But, yeah, it's in the order of magnitude of, like, every single source of emissions domestically, like every car on the road, every household, every industry, all of the land clearing, like, it's an enormous source of emissions that gets exported through this port.
And Go.
Oh, yeah, you asked me about, I think you're asking me about past focus on the area.
Yeah.
There was a group, Rising Tide, that started in 2005 to focus on this source of emissions. And, yeah, we were one of the first groups to start doing non-violent direct action on coal targets. And we were really active here until 2012 when everyone started doing work in different climate spheres and research. And, yeah, we just regathered and relaunched late last year because we saw a really big, like, important gap that in the climate movement ecosystem that we felt needed to be filled. And that was radical but inclusive and diverse actions to demand transformative change.
Well, Labor has said that climate targets are an important shift from the coalition's denial and delay, but that's not enough, is it?
No, words absolutely. Are cheap. absolutely not. Like, it is an important shift, but we're facing the destruction of, potentially of humanity. Like, everything is at stake here, and facing the scale of threat that we are, those sort of shifts are negligible. You can't have piecemeal reform to deal with the climate emergency. We need to transform our economy and our society, and starting with not expanding fossil fuels, not opening new coal mines or gas fields, not expanding existing ones. And Labor is still allowing that to happen. So, yeah, some targets and some policies that are not necessarily going to make much difference anyway. It's definitely not good enough.
You've got demands, haven't you? We demand state and federal governments do what?
We're demanding that there is no expansion of the coal industry. That's our first demand, very simple one at this point in history. Our second demand is that the coal export industry, the Newcastle coal port, shut by 2030. And our third demand is that no worker or community gets left behind in this process of transition.
And it might surprise people that the port is still expanding and is expecting to continue its plans to 2048.
Yeah, it is quite shocking. There was a coal mine in the Hunter Valley that feeds the Newcastle coal export port that was approved for a massive expansion last year, and there's another one on the table currently. They intend on exporting coal from this port right up until the time when the world is supposed to be moving or achieving net zero emissions. So it's really inconsistent with a safe climate future, what they're planning to do here.
Can you tell us about what people can expect on if they come and, like, they'll bring their camping gear, I guess, and involve themselves? Yeah.
Yeah. So people have already started registering from Melbourne, Canberra, Brizzy, and of course lots of people from Sydney and Newcastle. It'll be a great gathering of people that are deeply concerned about the climate crisis and really wanting to get more involved and contribute to a powerful movement to demand change. And we have a beautiful site. It's a scout camp just 20 minutes outside of Newcastle in the bush by the beach. So, lovely that we'll be gathering on Warramai in a Awabakal country. People can bring their camping gear, or there's actually some dorm beds available as well. And 4 days of living in community, building networks and relationships, and strategizing about how we can ramp up our power and start to win. So we've got exciting speakers, like Frontline Voices and scientists from the Climate Council that we're really excited to hear from. And one of the days will be a big mass nonviolent action.
That's on the Sunday, yeah. And also you're seeking 10,000 people to take a climate defence pledge, which is a really interesting strategy.
Yeah, so we think that we, in order to shift the politics in the time we have available, it needs to be a transformative movement, and we need mass numbers in order to achieve that. We need the diversity that comes with those numbers as well. So we've put out a call for 10,000 plus people to pledge to participate or support those who are taking destructive action against the coal export industry in Newcastle, at the world's biggest coal port. So the idea is that there's safety in numbers, there's inspiration in that power of those numbers, and people can feel like they're part of something that is really going to make change. So we ask people to sign up on our website, which is risingtide.org.au, and you can add a photo and a testimony if you like, or you can just take the pledge and add your details. And we invite people to participate in actions along the way that will help build the momentum until we have the numbers to materially disrupt the industry and have the power to win on our demands. But people are also welcome to take the pledge and wait until we have that critical mass and come when we put the call out that we have those really significant numbers to make the change that we think will be possible when we do.
Yeah, it's a do or die moment in a sense. One of the conversations that's been happening is that to be effective, all the different people, like-minded people and groups need to actually network. And this is a perfect, an act in concert. And this is a perfect moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to think about change as an ecosystem approach, learn from nature there, and work out how we can cooperate and collaborate as much as possible. But, I do think that in that ecosystem framework, this type of grassroots, diverse and disruptive action fills an essential niche. And so anyone that wants to do something that potentially is the most powerful thing that an individual could do to join a nonviolent resistance movement, then I think this is the place to be.
Now, can you just talk a little bit on the third day, that's Sunday, the 16th of April, there is going to be what you call an inclusive, non-violent, direct action protest. This is important because it's a provocation, in a sense, because of the amount of draconian laws against protests that have been going onto the books, especially in New South Wales, I have to say, but not exclusively New South Wales. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, so we're hoping to attract hundreds of people to this event, including those who have been participating in climate camp in the days before, but also hundreds of local supporters that might not come to the whole gathering but will join us for the protest. We are going to be targeting one of the coal export terminals that is near to town, and part of our intention here is to create a striking image and to share a message, like a declaration of intention that we're going to be returning with thousands more people and friends. I can't really give all of the details of what we're planning, actually. But
no, that's wise.
We definitely will be like making sure that it's really safe for a whole diversity of people, that it's fun and colourful. We're planning like music and there'll be speeches. There'll be a march involved, it should be really empowering and fun day, and help to build momentum for bigger actions to follow. So I will also mention that we haven't publicly announced it yet. I guess I'm hearing it first on 3CR. Rising Tide is planning to host a two-day blockade of the coal port in November 25th and 26th. It will be the 12th flotilla blockade of the port, but we've never done it for 2 days before. So this is a clear escalation. And we're hoping that thousands of people will be participating in that event.
That's is very similar to the concepts coming out of the Franklin blockades that were so successful. Let's hope this is successful too. Let's go back to the last demand, which was that ensure nobody is left behind as Australia moves beyond coal. This means government-led support for new jobs, industries and training for coal workers and coal mining communities. This isn't just words. Down in the Hunter Valley, as well as over in a key coal mining area in Western Australia, a lot of work has been done to bring communities forward out of their coal past.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really brilliant work that's being done by a variety of organisations in the Hunter, learning from, that example in Western Australia and other examples from around the world, where transition has been done well, but it needs to be a planned transition. There needs to be, work with the community, collaborative approach, and there needs to be government support for all of those things like retraining or redundancies or like investment in new industries. There are so many opportunities in the Hunter region to create new industries and job opportunities for the community here, and the government needs to be leading on that and not just waiting for the industry to suddenly pack up, like is already occurring, and people are facing job losses without the support that they deserve. So we can't allow that to continue, and we need this to be an orderly transition because it is inevitable and it's necessary, and it's just not just or acceptable that workers and communities are left high and dry through this process.
It's interesting, isn't it, that environmental activists are seen as the enemy of workers. Oh, that's the conversation that's been created. But in actual fact, With the idea that it's the moneyed class, the financiers, that are actually the ones responsible for the economy working. But in actual fact, they're actually responsible for putting money into these shareholders and increasing their profits. Not the same thing.
No, not at all. There's, like, I think that this issue has been politicised tragically. And we're really on the same side, and we just want to see stable jobs for the future that aren't affecting the planet. Everybody deserves that, to have a stable job with good conditions that is not destroying the planet.
Thanks for talking to us today, Naomi. And it's a big call out to the Newcastle Environment Camp. Go to the Rising Tide.
Risingtide.org.au. You can find the link to register there, or you can go on Facebook. It's called Camp for Climate Action.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Annie.